Hi, it's Karen Webster, and welcome to The Matchmaker Is In. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Ed Ayton, the founder and CEO of Merch Bar.
So let's go back. I know we want to talk about the things that are happening now, but I think it's fascinating to understand the evolution of Merch Bar. You guys have been around since 2013. It's an idea that you had and developed into the business. And I'm curious to get from you the problem you saw then and felt that needed to be addressed and therefore became the Merch Bar business we know today.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw two problems back then, and really one on kind of each side of the marketplace. And that's really how we do at the highest level think about Merch Bar, which is a marketplace, which is a platform that connects artists and their teams with fans. And if you turn back the clock to 2013, and as we were, you know, really getting started in 13 and 14, both sides were having, you know, real challenges, right? If you're the fan of an artist, actually, you know, finding and buying merchandise from them just in general is very difficult, right? If we're talking about an artist that's not in the top, you know, 5 or 10 that is going to actually have products carried at the Target or the Walmart, your only other options are potentially going to the show, which is open in your city maybe once a year, or trying to find that artist store online, hoping that you found the right one, hoping it is legitimate. And we really just found overall that, you know, music is a category that is the pretty much the most loved category among anything in the world. If you look at the top 25 artists on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you know, right about half of them are musicians, but, you know, this category of people that are culturally influential and really something that fans identify with in their identity, their products are kind of like very difficult to get. So we saw a big opportunity there to help fans kind of discover and buy these products. And on the other side, you know, if you're an artist, you have the channels to reach your customers, and your fans are also really difficult. And even when you look at the time then when social was really blowing up, artists could clearly see that, you know, Facebook was going to be locking down the wall. You know, they don't always want to be super commercial in their social presences. So really, like, how do you create new interesting products and get them in front of your fans? And we realized that, you know, by building a marketplace, by bringing both of these together and building a platform where we can do provide great commerce, provide a known brand, things like personalized discovery, that there were going to be huge advantages to both sides. So then it was really just an issue of, well, how on earth do you get a critical mass of artists? So that was really the next big thing we dug into.
So how did you do that? Because one of the things you mentioned was, if you're not one of the top performing artists, you're sort of out of luck, and, you know, perhaps even going to their own website, commerce was a friction-filled process, even if there was an opportunity to buy. I'm thinking back in 2013. So who did you start with? Did you start with the big guys, or did you start with some of the unknowns that really consumers wanted to buy from but had a hard time doing it?
Yeah, so we knew that one of the value propositions that we wanted to have for fans was the ability to discover and buy, like, things from all of their favorite artists, right? At this point, we were much further along, but to get out of the gate, we kind of saw this as a critical mass play. And to do that, we went out and partnered with major merch companies, independent merch companies, and record labels, because they were the ones that had the, you know, technology infrastructure that we could integrate with. And they had rosters of clients. So when we did a deal with them, we would get, 20 to 50 different artists that really, like, ran the spectrum from, the Rolling Stones of the world to the more, not necessarily, I don't want to call them small, but, like, those with maybe more regional popularity or more niche audiences. So it was actually kind of surprising to us when we started that we actually launched with a very broad assortment of artists, everyone from the Beatles to those more, you know, niche or cult artists, and, you know, saw the platform working for pretty much everyone from the beginning. So that was a huge validation and a weight off of our shoulders very early on. And really, I think the one thing that I, you know, just put out quickly is, you know, a lot of this is due to my co-founder. John Hecker, who is a longtime music industry executive, and really, you know, knew the right ways to go into these potential partnerships, the right people to talk to, and the kind of ways they would make decisions. I'm not traditionally from the music industry. It's not my, I haven't spent my life in this business. I guess it's very different from the inside and the way it looks from the outside. And John is essential for us to help get these partnerships done and do what we've done to this point.
So you got these record labels on board and they're making their merchandise available to you. A couple questions on that before we go over to the consumer side. Were you getting current merchandise? Were you getting kind of the leftovers that they couldn't get rid of otherwise? What kind of merchandise were you getting?
Yeah, so initially, you know, we came in with no assumptions about, you know, what the right, you know, products are. We wanted to get as much as we could, mm-hmm. and from there kind of attack the problem. So what we did was our partnerships were very broad and they were for everything in the artist's official store. Mm-hmm. So that is everything you mentioned and right. Everything in between. So right. it's the tour shirt from 2011, which may not be super exciting, right. But it's also like the reissue tour shirt from 1977. And everything in between. So really just as we were going initially for as much product as we could to make the platform as robust as possible.
Got it. So I noticed this morning you have as a new product the Kissmas print, the Kissmas pin and the Kissmas little ornament. I thought that was cute with Kiss, of course, being the band. So anyone who's a Kiss fan out there can go right and buy one of those really sparkly little pins. I thought that was very cute. So you've got a whole bunch of merchandise now just waiting for consumers to buy. How did you acquire consumers? What did you do?
Yeah, so, you know, really early on, we knew, obviously, as I said before, this was a marketplace business, and one of the keys is aggregating consumers and retaining consumers. Mm-hmm. And I think we think about it really in two kind of separate buckets. One is general acquisition, and the second is like re-engagement and retention. Once we had those consumers, we wanted to make sure we kept them around. And I'll kind of take the question backwards, which is from the beginning, we knew we were trying to build something that was a destination that fans would come to forever. So we wanted to make sure we kind of delivered on those value propositions, but also wanted to find like personalized, intelligent ways to keep people coming back. So mm-hmm. we built a product called Merch Alerts, which is like Bands in Town or Songkick. It's a personalized email notification whenever your favorite artists release new merchandise. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Kiss fan on our on our system and the new Merry Kissmas pin comes in, we're gonna send you an email because we know you're a Kiss fan and you've asked for that. And we've had tremendous, I mean, really way outside of my expectations, adoption of that. And that's really like a key for us to keep people involved once we get them into the system. Beyond that, we really, look to the biggest opportunities. Obviously Google is super important to us. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of ways that we can help artists rank highly on pages and defeat fraudsters and things like that. So we focus a lot on that. And two has been partnerships. We've been, you know, very lucky with the iPhone app that we launched initially. It's been featured by Apple over 100 times. They've been a terrific partner to us, including on the homepage during the holiday season of our first year. That was
wow.
Like, that's your dream come true.
Yes.
When you're launching a new product. And then, obviously, Spotify as well. That was a little further down the road. But our Spotify partnership has been incredible, both in terms of reaching new artists and reaching new fans.
No, I want to get to that, but I want to go back to something you said, retaining customers. I guess there is a limit to how much branded stuff you can buy in the course of the year, right? I mean, there are only so many Merry Kissmas prints you could actually accumulate over the course of one's lifetime. But how often do consumers buy?
Yeah, you know, we don't share, you know, hard LTV or performance data, but I can say that, you know, there's definitely a major segment that are purchasing repeatedly throughout the year. Mm-hmm. It is, it's interesting for us as we look at among different cohorts. There's definitely, you know, one is like the super fan of a specific artist that pretty much buys every single thing that they release.
Right.
That's definitely a group of people. Two is the more kind of like genre-based collector, mm-hmm. That is, you know, tracking like an entire kind of like a world of artists kind of exist in the same sector. And the third one that's been really interesting for me to dig into, vinyl fans mm-hmm. are just rabid and love like digging through and finding the super rare thing that may have maybe tagged incorrectly everywhere else. And we see a lot of engagement among vinyl fans that are, I mean, they must have huge houses. They must not live in the city like I do, because they're really buying a substantial amount of records. So it's been fun learning about all these different segments.
Interesting. So let's talk about Spotify. How did that evolve? Obviously, that's a major coup, and as you point out, a great acquisition engine for both consumers and artists.
Yeah, well, you know, I won't speak for Spotify like in specifics, but I think one of the things that the industry has really, you know, moved to in the last couple of years mm-hmm. is really working with artists to help them do, you know, new and interesting things. And I think that Spotify, and say this just, you know, as an observer, has done this in a lot of different ways, and has been really successful at it. And part of that, I think, for them was, you know, finding other, you know, revenue streams for mm-hmm. artists,
yep.
But also doing it in a way that was, you know, thoughtful and interesting for fans. So really, you know, this is something that's been a big focus for them for a long time. And merch as a category has been very, let's just say, fragmented, mm-hmm. to use a nice way to put it. and I think that as we got to know more about each other's goals and what we were doing, saw that it was really like a fit for both of us to achieve the things that we wanted to do strategically in terms of, you know, we were really able to help them support a large number of artists, create something that fits into their platform that can be done in a consistent way across a large number of artists. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, obviously, helps us reach new consumers, and that helps us push the entire space forward. So that was really the genesis, and really where we continue to work with them today.
Yeah, is there much overlap between the consumers that find you on Spotify and those that have already found you on your site? Do you track that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely interesting both in terms of like, we actually get a lot of re-engagement through Spotify
mm-hmm, right.
of fans that once they kind of discover the listings, it's kind of a thing that they repeatedly dig into.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we see pretty much everyone that ends up as like a qualified, interested music consumer. So we don't segment super hard between them, but do get, you know, good overlap between the two categories.
Yeah, it's a great example of commerce being contextualized in an environment where a purchase is very natural. You know, you're listening to your favorite artist and you're presented with an opportunity to make a purchase of, you know, branded something or now a look that particular artist may have, and it just seems like a very instinctive, natural thing to do.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's been really surprising to me on that front is really actually how much merchandise is out there that you don't realize. As in like logos from these different bands and labels and artists are saying that now that, I'm not a big metalhead, I'm a hip hop guy, but I'm more of an old school hip hop guy. But as I've, you know, obviously worked in this space, I've realized like, oh, that dude on the bus isn't just wearing like a cool crew neck sweatshirt. Like, oh, that's a brain feeder sweatshirt or whatever it is. And, you know, when you're on Spotify, you're like seeing these things, right? They have their profile pictures, you know, there's actually a lot of kind of visual content that you engage with that kind of promotes these symbols that we end up, you know, that I end up discovering new around town or on our service. And it's been super fun to learn more about that, both, you know, as the retailer digging through our products and, you know, looking at our customers, but also just as a music fan on Spotify, like learning the different, you know, logos and things of the new artists and groups that I'm getting into.
Interesting. So let's now move to the platform extension, I guess, is the way to call it, with now the opportunity for fans to buy makeup and other merchandise that represents the look of their favorite artist. And that was really the news made yesterday in combination with Pat McGrath and Maggie Lindemann. So how did that evolve? Was that something that you said, I want to give more people more opportunities to buy things related to the artist they love? Or did they come to you looking for an opportunity for distribution?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the real, you know, the start of the whole thing, you know, definitely goes back to Pat McGrath and Maggie. Maggie is a super kind of influential artist in that she has not only a musical following, but also a substantial Instagram following and kind of social following. She's one of those kind of like, you know, next generation influencers and, you know, content creators that people just love engaging with across a bunch of different platforms. And Pat she's the king or the queen of her world. And they really were fans of each other and wanted to create something special together. So it was after they had already kind of made the connection and started, you know, identifying the types of things that they could do, that they started thinking like, well, what's a new way to get this out into the world and reach Maggie's fans, right? Mm-hmm. These are, you know, some of the people that are going to be super interested in this. And it was through that angle that we initially got connected and learned more about what they were doing and kind of put together the plan to release that we did.
That's interesting. I know it's early days. I mean, as in like yesterday, but what's been the response so far? I mean, things can happen so quickly in a digital world, especially in a world where consumers are consuming so much content, and streaming music is clearly one of them. What have you been hearing? What have you been observing?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the products have done tremendously well, and I think are really, you know, it's a new category, right? So we try to temper our expectations. Let's just say be realistic about our expectations going in, since we know this is a new thing. And really, you know, hats off to those teams at, you know, with Maggie, Pat, and then obviously our partners at Spotify for helping get the word out there. But it's really been something that's really resonated with both sets of fans, which I think has been super cool for us to see is not only the response from Maggie's fans, both on social and on Spotify, but from Pat's fans as well. Maybe those that didn't, you know, weren't super, you know, into the know with Maggie. So it's been amazing. And from the commerce side, you know, things have just been flying off the shelf. So everyone's very happy about that.
What's the product mix? I mean, I saw the eyeliner, but what are some of the other things that are being made available for sale? Is it strictly makeup at this point?
Yeah, so it is. It's totally makeup at this point, mm-hmm. in that there's different eyeliners and shadows, mm-hmm. And then there's also an exclusive lip color, mm-hmm. that have been created specifically for our work with Spotify, mm-hmm. That are unavailable anywhere else.
Hmm.
So really, kind of the products behind the scenes of the video and photo shoot that Maggie and Pat did together. So that's that's another thing that we've been, you know, thrilled about is I love our existing partners. You know, the Led Zeppelin team doesn't always give us like a full, you know, HD video shoot that's like super highly produced. It's been really fun to dig into the fashion, you know, to work with people in the fashion world that, you know, take merchandising, really, I mean, it's just a totally different level. I don't mean that in any form of disrespect to our partners, but these guys are really over the top in terms of the work they do to support the products they create. So it's been awesome seeing things and working with those teams as well.
Yeah, no, I can. I was laughing at the Led Zeppelin comment. You know, HD is perhaps not one of the things that is helpful in those kinds of shoots, but we'll leave that at that. Talk to me a little bit in general terms about how the economics of your platform works. Presumably you make money in a variety of ways. Can you share a little bit, again, at a high level, how that works?
Yeah, I mean, really, there's two kind of different models that exist on the platform. One is wholesale, where we work with distributors that are owning products that we sell and drop ship to fans, that give us a kind of base price. And then we manage retail pricing from there. Mm-hmm. And then the other is, you know, for lack of a better word, let's just call it an affiliate fee. So mm-hmm. when we work with and sell products that are, you know, through an artist's official store, we take a cut of the transaction, but mirror the prices from that artist's store so that we're kind of like on an even playing field with them. We're neither more expensive nor cheaper. We're mirroring those prices exactly and just taking a transaction fee whenever we submit orders through.
You know, since we do like to also talk about the payments process related to all of these different things, when you started in 2013 and obviously knew that you wanted to create a commerce platform, how was getting connected and enabling payments, how was that process for you? Harder than you thought? Easier than you thought? Does it remain still a challenge?
Yeah, man, there's a lot to dig in here. You know, I think getting out of the gate, like going from zero to one, was surprisingly easy, right? In 2013, Stripe was pretty legit. Yep. At that point, I mean, obviously much earlier than they are today.
Right.
But they were still a substantial, you know, developer-ready program that yep. we, you know, were able to tap into, and we knew from the beginning that was kind of the right route for us to get out of the gate. We do have kind of complicated infrastructure and integration challenges that we've yep. had to, you know, create significant, you know, dedicate significant resources to, just in terms of, you know, we're integrated with about 100 different warehouses around the world that are on, you know, multiple different commerce systems and things like that. So that side of the payments flow has been substantial. But we've really kind of through the history of the company been super focused on mobile from day one.
Yep.
As knowing that's where everything was, you know, was going. That's why we launched our app kind of early in the process for us, and have been, I would say, like very aggressive on deploying things like Apple Pay in our app, and then eventually Apple Pay for web. PayPal, you know, whatever it is that makes those payment flows easy for the users on mobile devices, mm-hmm. Has been a tremendous focus of ours. And I think, you know, at this point we're doing, it's well over 80% of visits are on mobile devices, mm-hmm. and it's a majority of completed transactions are on mobile devices. So we continue to invest and look for whatever is next to help make that process easier.
How much of your business is from outside of the U.S.?
So it's right around a third mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm. And
it has been growing.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you view that as an opportunity for growth as you think about evolving the platform? And you've clearly done a great job in the 4 years that you've been in existence of really doing that. What's next on the roadmap? Is it global expansion? Is it different product expansions sitting on top of the platform? Give us some thinking. Give us the benefit of your thinking there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, as a marketplace, right? It's really like looking at both sides. Like on supply, how do we get more artists and more products? And on the on the demand side, how do we reach more fans? You know, I think the Maggie program is a good example of both the kinds of things that we find super interesting and the types of opportunities that are out there and how we're really just scratching the surface of the possibilities of this category. When you look at even, you know, let's just say like the baseline of merch, like, you know, t-shirts and hats, you know, nearly half of the top 100 artists on Spotify don't have any merchandise right now.
Wow.
So for us, expanding, working with our partners, like doing whatever it takes to help kind of that mix of merchandise expand on like an artist by artist level and a, you know, product level, mm-hmm. is super important. So that's a big focus for us. And then two is like expanding just the, you know, the categories of these things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Into, you know, way beyond just the t-shirt and hat, which I think Maggie and Pat McGrath is a great example of that. And then as we look, you know, down the road on the kind of consumer side, you know, I can tell you that we're down the road with additional partnerships that will be substantial for artists and fans in terms of helping, you know, integrate merchandise into other experiences that music fans are engaging with. And then, you know, continuing to hammer on, you know, this consumer journey and experience. You know, there's very few places that are kind of like an online record store that also has all of the shirts and everything from all these artists, really helping fans have a great experience of browsing and discovering, because that is something that like people love to do. They have come onto our site, and it's not always transactional for us. Mm-hmm. Obviously that's a super important metric, but helping people just, you know, engage and browse and discover this stuff is a huge opportunity too. So that's really how we're thinking about the roadmap ahead.
It sounds like in 2013 you went into this with your eyes wide open about the challenges of creating a platform and needing to get critical mass on both sides and how you started. But was there one thing that in that journey of yours was an unexpected challenge that you thought, wow, I thought of everything but this. Anything come to mind?
Well, yeah, there's several that come to mind. It's been quite the journey learning about you know, the industry and the opportunity here. You know, I think the one that was most surprising and was kind of the hardest not to untangle was when we kind of set out and went public with, you know, it's been like 1,200 artists or so. You know, we really thought there was going to be like a specific category, either artist type or product type, that we were going to figure out first. Mm-hmm. And really, like, I figured it was going to be like, you know, leather jackets from metal artists. But it really wasn't. It was very broad, which was, it, on one hand, was a huge validation of what we were doing. It was very exciting. But it made kind of those next tactical moves of like, okay, well, what do we do to support, you know, the, you know, less, the relatively low transaction volume of a brand new company, but for all of these different artists and clearly all of these different bands in all of these different places. That was a very, like, you know, unexpected thing that we had initially, which now today, that's one of like the great parts of it, is we are, you know, on average, you know, selling, you know, the average cart has, or I guess it's almost 40% of carts have products from more than one artist in there. Hmm. That's like a dream come true.
Wow.
But when you have low transaction volume, it's very difficult to figure out how to scale that. And, you know, we were lucky to have investors and a team that gave us the time horizon to really, I think the only way through that is to keep pushing forward on a platform level and knowing that some of the things you're going to do aren't going to work, but hopefully enough do that you're able to kind of push all of these categories forward, because it's a totally different kind of growth, you know, growth path than, oh, we've like figured out leather jackets, let's take it to the moon.
Yep.
Now let's do black t-shirts, and now let's do like studded wrist cuffs. So we were, definitely that was an exciting one along the way.
Wow. Ed, it's been great chatting with you. I've really enjoyed learning about the business and your story. It's fascinating. It sounds like many, many, many more great things to come. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
And grab your Merry Christmas pins because they're selling like hotcakes. I'm sure they are. Ed, thanks again for your time. Best of luck with the new Spotify enhancement, and we look forward to catching back up with you on the next milestone. Thanks again.
Well, thank you.
And thanks everyone who listened today. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.